Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? It's Friday, not just any Friday. It's the beginning of the weekend when we look forward to the 10th of May, which is one of those red letter days in our 16-month or 15-month odyssey that we call the lockdown or the pandemic, which has brought all sorts of emotions, good, bad and indifferent. So it is special, and I know there's an excitement in the air. We said yesterday, no, I'll tell you what's on the show first before I tell you what I'm going to do. So we've a great show lined up for you today, movies and music. Brian Kennedy is joining us for a kitchen session today. So he's set up with his guitar and a microphone in his kitchen. And we'll be joining him for a couple of songs and a chat after 4 o'clock. I know he's thousands and thousands of fans all over the country, so that's good news for them. Sarah Bulger, Irish actor, will be talking to us from Dublin. She lives in LA normally. She's in Mayans MC and loads of other things. She's in a brand new movie, so we'll be talking about that. And yesterday evening, I got a chance to chat to Paul Weller. Yes, lead singer of The Jam and Style Council. And now he's on his 16th solo album. So we'll plan that out for you today. But before all that, we mentioned yesterday that you can now buy 5 antigen tests in Lidl for $24.99. So this is the most reasonable availability of the tests. We were online looking. Some places have knocked their prices down from 199 to 110 for 10. So that's working out at about €11 each. Certain pharmacies are offering the whole test. So you go in and they do it for you. That comes in at around €70. But these DIY antigen tests are available, 5 per kit, I suppose, but you can only buy them in a pack of 5. So €24.99. And we were discussing yesterday a bit, and people were saying that you can get them free in England. Other people were saying that they use them in Germany for school children to test them twice weekly. And why would you use them here? Well, I suppose it's a to be sure measure. So, for example, if I'm going down to see my mother next weekend, and although she has been vaccinated and I don't have symptoms, I might just want to be sure that I'm okay. So I might do the antigen test. That's one way you'd use it. So I'm going to do it here. This is a bit odd, I'll admit, but we're going to do it here. And it's DIY, so you do it on your own without a professional. There's a large piece of paper that looks like something that you'd get with an IKEA flat pack. That comes with all the instructions. And I just looked at, there's a list of 14 instructions. 14 instructions. And it says the number 9 is the most important. Correct specimen collection is the most important step in the procedure. Make sure to collect enough specimen material, that's nasal secretion, with the swab, especially for anterior nasal sampling. So you know what I'm going to do. So beware, so there will be noises. And the first thing you have to do, I apologise in advance, but people will be doing this all over the country and people will be interested and curious to know what it feels like, how you do it, etc. So I'm doing it for you. I'm a guinea pig. So you have to clear your nose. So excuse me for a second. So it says several times. So that's 4 times I blow my nose. That's that. Then you have a little container with a fluid in it, and you snap the plastic top off that. Now, this is the first time I'm doing this. I should have maybe used one upstairs. And then you put it into a little sort of test tube thing, and that fluid is going to mix with the secretion on the swab, and then you'll pour it onto the tester. So that's in there like that. I'll put that stand in there. And then this is the uncomfortable bit. Now, one of the team has gone for a PCR test, and two of the team actually have gone for a PCR test in the past, and that involves people who've gone for the test will know putting the swab back at the back of your throat and up your nose. But for the antigen test, you just have to put it up your nose, about an inch up your nose. Right, so here goes. Oh God, yeah, that's just a little bit tickly, and you you swabble it around there and move it around, and then you take it down. And then you put it in the other nostril. So you use both nostrils and up there. And it says leave it in there for a couple of seconds. What should I do there? Now, yeah, so what you're doing now is you're listening to an antigen test live on the radio, whether you like it or not. So I have the swab there, and I'm now going to put it in to the little liquid, which is in a plastic test tube type thing. And it says mix it around there. So that takes whatever the germs are in my nasal secretion, and that's going to be available to the test thing. So what I do is then I close that over, there's a little cap on it, and I just do give a little mix around. And then in individual sachets, then there's a card type thing, which I'm seeing for the first time now. And on it is says SARS COVID antigen ID, blah, blah, blah. There's a C and a T, and there's a little window there, a rectangular window. And then down at the bottom, there's a little circular window, and that's where you deposit the mixture of the fluid that you got with the kit and the excretion from the swab. So I'm going to do that now there. And you leave that for 15 to 20 minutes, and I will know then if I'm positive or negative. So things are happening already there. We'll come back to that in 15, 20 minutes. So there, now you'll know that the antigen test isn't as accurate or as sensitive as the PCR test, and that's why they've been using the PCR test. The advantages of the antigen test, obviously, is that it's cheaper, it's more immediate, so that if you get an inkling that you have it, then you would probably go to your doctor and you'd probably go for a PCR test. So that's why it's out there and available, and Lidl have it, as I said, $24.99. So I'm going to leave that there, and I'll be looking for the stripes or the coloured stripes later on. It's a bit like a pregnancy test. Now, what else is going on in the world? Well, major excitement today, because people could click on to a Penny's website and get an appointment to shop in Penny's. Yes, you heard me correct. An appointment to shop in Penny's. As you know, they're famous for the fact that they don't sell online. They've no online offering, as they say in the business. They've no online retail offering. So people have been missing it. Missing it something terrible. For knickers and socks and T-shirts and everything else. So there was a queue. Now, in fairness to them, I don't think it crashed. There was a queue to get online, to get an appointment to Penny's, and people were very excited when they got it. You are now in a virtual queue. Thanks for your patience. You are now in a virtual queue. Thanks for your patience. And loads of people have been on Twitter saying, yes, I got it. I got it. So they will arrive up with a ticket next week to Penny's, and they'll be in a queue and they'll go in and they'll have their whatever, I don't know, an hour or so. They'll shop and they'll come back out. And then, of course, on the 17th, everyone can go return to Penny's and every other retail outlet in the country, because they'll be open for business. It's a scramble. It's a scramble. I was just looking there. It's sort of a, talking of scramblings, reeling in the ears this year, this week is 2014, 8:30. And the big event that happened in this country in 2014, go on, see if you can remember. It's 7 years ago. Everybody was talking about it. Everybody was talking about it. It was covered in newspapers. It was on Liveline. It was on Today FM, 98 FM, RT1, 2 FM. Everybody was talking about this. Do you get it? Garth Brooks. Yes, you're right. Garth Brooks. So Garth Brooks was first to do a number of concerts, and then the demand was such that they wanted to have five concerts in Croke Park. Now, that would have been 400,000 people. 400,000 people. Like, that's a substantial percentage of the adult population in this country. And there was to-ing and fro-ing, and politicians were involved, and people intervened to try and, you know, I think they even put a phone call into Kofi Annan. But right in the thick of it was the Lord Mayor of Dublin at the time, Christy Burke. And we've just dug up a little bit of audio from the archives from 2014, Christy Burke talking to Claire Byrne about the whole Garth Brooks hoo-ha.
The Mexican ambassador contacted me yesterday, and he offered his services at a diplomatic level if he could be of any help. And I had a group of residents from Ballybuck who said they intend to call on Mr. Obama to try and encourage Garth Brooks to play in Dublin.
So the Mexicans are involved now?
The Mexican ambassador, Claire, who pays regular courtesy visits to the Lord Mayor, offered his services with a minister from the Mexican government who I was meeting on a courtesy call yesterday. But the Mexican ambassador is available and anxious to introduce his diplomatic skills if needed.
Okay.
Thus far, they haven't been needed.
They haven't been needed just yet.
Hey!
I'm not big on social graces. Think I'll slip on down to the Oasis. So I've got a friend say.
Hello, President Sir. We've a caller on the line here. I want you to intervene in the Garth Brooks controversy in Ireland. Yeah, what? Oh, that's brilliant stuff, isn't it? And that's because, you know, it was serious but not serious, and it was all consuming, but it was just one of those things that got everybody talking, and it'll be featured, I'm sure, in Reeling in the Ears this Sunday evening, 8:30 on RT1. Yeah. Of course, next, I was saying when it was announced that inter-county travel was going to be available to us from next week, and it impacts on some people more than others. People will be seeing grandparents and parents for the first time and grandchildren for the first time, and that's brilliant. And people will just be taken to the road. If you're from a small county and you've been outside your county since Christmas, you might just take to the road and go on a road trip. I'm just driving. Where are you going? I don't know. I'm just driving. Forrest Gump, like, I'm just driving because I can. And of course, a big thing with the driving is the music you play, isn't it? And we went around the houses upstairs and asked people, so what would you play? What would you play? And our Niamh said this. Gotta take the life to take me away from you. There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do. I bless the rains down in Africa. There you go. I just had a thought there. What if I'm positive? What happens if I'm positive? What, I get locked in here, is it? Is that I get locked in? What happens if I'm positive? What happens if the test is positive? I have no symptoms. And they say that the antigen test is less likely to spot you if you're asymptomatic. But anyway, it's cooking away there, 15 or 20 minutes to say. So that was Niamh. This is Emily's choice. Going on a road trip. Sun is shining. That's a nice one, yeah. The window down, the elbow out, getting that asymmetric suntan that was so common with Irish drivers back in the day. And Dave! That was our Dave's choice. And Neil, who's working today as a producer, and you'll know him from his Saturday evening's music shows. He chose this one. When I see your face, there's not a thing that I would change, 'cause you're amazing, just the way you are. There's something about being on the road and the music blaring. It's sort of freedom, isn't it? It says freedom. It says freedom. So we're looking for, just for, so you know, we're looking for a C, a line beside the C. So I'm looking at the instructions here with the antigen test. Positive. If two coloured bands appear with one coloured band in the control zone alongside C and another in the test zone alongside T within 15 minutes, then the test result is positive. If one coloured band appears in the COVID zone C and no coloured band appears in the test zone T within 15 to 20 minutes, the test result is negative. So that's what it says there. We live in a mad world, don't we? It's weird what becomes normal. What do we talk about before pandemics? I know. So if somebody said to me 2 years ago, you're going to be on air and you're going to be doing this test for a thing called COVID-19, and there'll be a lot of sad stories around the whole thing and lockdown, and we'll view the world differently and we'll take stock of where we are in the world and all that, I would have said, yeah, go on out of that. That's some sort of dystopian novel you're describing there. Please tell listeners again the best way to be sure to get the PCR test. Yes, well, that's, I said that and I will reiterate that if you did get one of these antigen tests and it did come up positive, then you would have to go and get a PCR test. You would have to go to your GP. Looking forward to hearing Brian live on the show. We're missing his live shows so much, says Joan. Well, he's singing live for us after 4 o'clock, Joan, in Monastrevin. And it took me an hour and 15 minutes, but I got appointments from my daughters and all their friends in pennies. So they're all thrilled. And give me any concert. It doesn't have to be Garth. Yeah. Imagine when you put it like that, we were having those rows over 400,000 people going to Croke Park 5 nights in a row or thereabouts. And now anything, just, you know, You know, and that's the way the world has turned. That's the way the world has turned. Is it 15 minutes yet? No, it's not. What did they say about watched antigen tests? As in, a watch kettle never boils. Anyway, 51551, RadRT.ie. Paul Weller on the way in about 10 minutes. But before that, we have to talk to a man who's taking a road trip. But first, The Jam and Start. That'd be a good road trip song, wouldn't it? Walking on Sunshine. That's a good road trip one, Ray. Is it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Katrina and the Waves. Drive. It's a bit literal, isn't it? I don't know. After you get the title out of the way. Doesn't work for me. Doesn't work for me. I'm with Neve. Africa. Toto. Yeah. I'll be driving anywhere on Monday and listening to Talking Heads. This must be the place. Ah, Pat and Leash. What a brilliant song. This must be the place. Naive Melody. One of my favourites of all time. Great choice, Pat. 51551 RadRT.ie. Better tell you about our quiz of today. Yeah, so today is the 7th of May, and we have cobbled together 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years, the decades, the centuries, the big news stories, scientific breakthroughs, movies, songs, birthdays, deaths. You know the deal by now. And we have a prize. And today, it's from the Doyle Hotel Collection, as it has been all week, and it's a two-night stay in the River Lee. It's a stylish space in Cork City to explore all that Cork has to offer. You and a guest will enjoy a two-night stay with breakfast each morning in the beautiful Mirror Room, with dinner on one evening in the River Club with a gorgeous riverside terrace. It's right on the banks of the Lee, as the name suggests, and you can find out more at doylecollection.com. doylecollection.com. So we're looking for two people to come on, have a chat, answer a few questions, and maybe win a prize after 4 o'clock. But first, you have to answer our qualifying question. In which Irish county would you find the town of Nina? In which Irish county would you find the town of Nina? Not very taxing. 1850-715-900. You know, there's something about sticking something up your nose. That'll get you going. Sorry. I've never done that. Oh my God. Weller tune has knocked the cobwebs clean off me, says Kathleen. I'm a bit giddy, I have to say, about taking that test, because it dawned on me, what if it is positive? And then on air, I have to say it, and then what happens then? As in, I don't know. Anyway, quick commercial break.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good news and bad news for you. Good news. The good news is that it's come up negative. So there it is. Beside the sea, there's a red line, clear as day, and nothing beside the T. So that suggests to me from that antigen test that I am negative. I don't have COVID-19. That's the good news. The bad news is that Tony Holan, who's our chief medical officer, has just come out to advise people not to buy the antigen tests and not to use them. So there you go. If he'd said that before 3 o'clock, I would have taken his advice. But that's what he's saying. The chief medical officer is saying don't buy them and don't use them. And he's recommending, as we would have done, the PCR, if in doubt at all. The PCR is a lot more accurate, and it's the one that's been used up until now. So there. That sort of softened our cough, didn't it? Literally speaking. Now, we were talking about taking to the road, and Padraig Green is doing just that, but in a van that's become a camper van. How are you doing, Padraig?
Hi, Ray. Good to talk to you. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good. So you're a teacher. What do you teach?
I'm a woodwork, construction and graphics teacher at second level. So had a nice bit of the skills there for converting the van.
Yeah. That must be a great subject to teach, is it, Padraig?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's brilliant. You know, just getting the little projects out the door with the lads, you know,
yeah.
It's a nice class to come into. you know, it's a little bit less monotonous, I think, than maths and Irish and English, not to put any of those teachers down that are listening. But yeah, it is. It's a fun one to teach. They like coming in and they leave a bit happier than when they come in as well.
That's it, yeah, because they're doing something, aren't they, with their hands? It's so important.
100%. Yeah, a little bit less pressure as well. So they seem to enjoy it than I do as well. So.
And in a world where, you know, computer games are taking over and we're doing less and less with our hands, I think.
Just getting the technology and electrics out of their hands for a while and just getting them tools and marking gauges and tri-squares and everything into their hands and getting them working is good. Building up a sweat ray is good.
It's important. So you're a man who's happy in his work. You better say hello to, did you say hello to the school already? What school is it?
I did, yeah. It's Moyle Park College in Clondalkin. So they all know that I'm out the back here at the woodwork room doing this. So hello to everyone.
Okay, so you had this dream and it was sort of, it was pushed on by the pandemic, was it?
Yeah, very much so. Like I've always wanted to do a conversion of a van to a camper. I didn't really know where to start or where to even source something like that from the beginning. So, you know, did a bit of research there, and you know, once we went back into the heavy restrictions after Christmas, I said, right, now is the time to do it, because we were moved to remote learning online for the school through Google Meet classes. So, you know, there was time in the evenings where I don't have to commute back home, you know, so there was a little bit of extra time there in the mornings and break times and stuff. So when I wasn't online doing classes, you know, I was kind of just flat out doing the van. But it was definitely driven on a little bit of extra time here and there. It was very helpful.
And was getting an actual camper van fully fitted, was that outside your price range? Was that it?
Yeah, a small bit. Yeah. So it took a while to gather the funds for that. But, you know, you can do it. You really can do it on any budget, but I found I did set myself a very low budget at the start. Yeah. So when you get more and more into it, you're thinking, right, I'll just go for it here. I'll chuck a little bit more at it. So it was kind of grew, really.
So the original van, what was it?
So it was an old council van years ago. It started off life in 2006 as an old kind of council van. Now it's a crew cab van. So when I got it, it wasn't just your standard empty in the back storage. It was, you could actually open sliding door. There was four seats there welded onto the body. There was already windows on both sides as well. And then there was a lot of kind of storage and steel welded onto the back of it as well. So there was a good month and a half of kind of stripping all of that out first before I could.
So you couldn't use any of that. It wasn't an advantage to
Not really. It was all kind of, it was all steel. It was kind of rusted. There was a couple of leaks in the roof here and there. So it was very heavy as well. So I kind of wanted a little bit more lightweight. So I just went with all kind of wooden frame construction then for the inside.
Did you document all this? Did you video it all?
Yeah. Everything's up kind of step by step as well. There's an Instagram page for it. It's called the Transit Camper Build. If anyone wants to check it out, everything is kind of done step by step there on a highlights reel. Right. A couple of posts.
And was there a moment where, and I think with big projects like that, a lot of people encounter, there's a moment where you go, oh no, I've bitten off more than I can chew.
100%. Yeah. There was a couple of hiccups along the way, but like, you kind of get over them after a while. You know, there was... there's a kind of a new rule there now where the internal standing height in the van has to be 1.8 metres. So with the Transit that I have, it's actually a mid-high roof, so it's not massively high. It's just shy of 6 foot.
Right.
So the insurance companies don't tend to go for that, but there is kind of, there's ways around it with low roof insurance. So the Motor Caravan Club of Ireland are fantastic. They're very, very helpful, and they sorted me out with a suitably qualified engineer to get all the engineers' reports done and get insurance forms started for the low roof. So once I got around that, you know, I was halfway through the build. I was kind of thinking halfway through, will I just sell it and get something bigger? But perseverance got me through in the end anyway.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Like, congratulations. It looks brilliant. It looks brilliant. So that's Amy in the picture.
That's Amy, yeah. That's the better half anyway.
And what does Amy do?
Amy's a nurse in A&E. So she's working to the bone nearly every day. So whenever she was off, she was giving me a great hand and more, like, you know, emotional support when I was thinking of selling it and having mini breakdowns in the middle of it. She was fantastic with support, as was everyone, you know, family and parents.
So how many hours do you reckon, Pádraig, have you put into it?
I mean, going through it, like, the stripping out of it was, you wouldn't feel 8, 9, 10 hours going there, no problem, in weekends. You'd attack it there after school as well. You'd finish 3 o'clock. I mean, you wouldn't see yourself going into 11, half 11 at night. Right. Like, there's yeah. hours and hours, any waking hours that I had free, basically, I was in the back of it sweating, trying to get it done, yeah. you know. So.
It's a labour of love. It's a labour of love.
It is. Yeah, it's worth it in the end, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you've been, you're a bit like that family in the new ad on the telly where they you know, you see them jumping into the van and turning the key, and then you know, when they go to the white shot, they're in the back garden. But you went a bit further than the back garden.
Small bit, yeah, just a little bit further. Yeah, we got it moving in the end anyway.
Yeah, and where did you end up?
We took it up to Fenor Beach for the first trip in it, so just to give it a bit of a test out. So that's just up kind of North Clare.
Yeah.
So we just took it up around there. Obviously, when the kind of county restrictions are lifted, we'll bring it a little bit further. But there's so many places in County Clare anyway to bring it. I mean, there's the whole coastline.
Yes.
You know, Fenor down through Liscannor, Lynch and Spanish Point. There's loads of places there for pulling in. And, you know, we just wanted to test out the cooker and get it moving. So
what did you cook?
We had some lovely barbecue chicken skewers.
Nice.
And we had some nice burgers and everything. We had actually had pancakes in the morning.
Right. And what was your marinade on the skewers? Did you marinate?
Oh, it was a nice kind of smoky kind of barbecue. Oh,
nice, yeah. What is it about the, you know, like you're sort of, you know, and you have a certain skill set that other people wouldn't have. But just before we let you go, what is it about the camper van? Why are people attracted to it so much?
I suppose it's just an element of freedom, really, you know. Like, you could spend a couple of hours there looking for a hotel or an Airbnb, and they could be booked out, and they could cost a couple of hundred euro for a night. But with this, it's just fill up the tank, and you can pretty much go anywhere you want. You have running water, you have electricity, you have heating, you know, you have a bed to sleep in. As I said, you can plug in, charge your phone, you can pull in anywhere and put on the kettle and have a cup of tea and then move on again. You know, you're not really stuck to one place, so...
I'd say all the lads in the school are anxious to get a look.
Yeah. Once I can bring it up, I'd say everyone wants to have a go. So.
Well, listen, safe driving and have a brilliant summer, Pádraig.
Thanks for having me on.
Transit camper build. If people go into that.
The transit camper build, yeah.
Right. Well done, Pádraig.
Well,
talk to you. See you.
Well,
bye.
Cheers. Thanks for having me on. Bye.
Okay, Paul Weller, people will know of Leeds with the Jam. Then there was Style Council, and he is releasing his 16th solo album, This Day Week. And one of the tracks was co-written by his daughter. We talked to him about writing the song with his daughter Leah and other things in a pre-recorded chat after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon, Paul Weller.
Hello, is that Ray?
Yeah, this is Ray Darcy here.
Hello, mate.
This is a real treat. Now, you've been part of my life for over 40 years, Paul, and you didn't even know it. So it's a real treat. Congratulations on solo album number 16, Fat Pop Volume 1.
Yeah.
So this is two albums in sort of less than a year.
It is indeed, yeah. We had On Sunset, which came out last June. And this new one, Fat Pop, comes out in a couple of weeks' time.
And would that have happened if there was no lockdown?
No, definitely not, because, you know, we'd have put out On Sunset, and then we were going to go on the road just after that, and go on a world tour, pretty much, anyway. So we wouldn't have been back in the studio for, like, you know, not until, like, sort of autumn of next year or something like that, you know. So... But yeah, obviously that never happened, and it just gave me all this free time.
Yeah.
And I just thought, how can I use this? How can I use it constructively and not go mental? And so I made a record, yeah. And I've done other things as well, you know. I've worked with other people as well during that course.
And how did it colour the album? You know, are the songs different as a result of lockdown?
No, I don't personally think so. I mean, I consciously thought I'm not going to write any songs about it, that's for sure. Because there'll be enough people probably doing that. So that was never on the cards. And then, but no, it didn't really. I just, all it gave me was time to sit down, right, and I've always got a lot of ideas. I keep loads of ideas on my phone stored up, and I also write lots of nonsense in my notepad. So it just gave me all this time to collate all these little ideas that are floating about and try and harness them and make them into something. And which was nice. I mean, it was a kind of different experience because it was sort of, I didn't have any sort of time period to finish it or start. Well, I started it whenever I started it, and I didn't, but I wasn't looking up when it needs to be finished or anything like that. I just kind of see where this all leads to, you know. And then it just kind of just sort of snowballed from that, you know. I got more and more ideas as it went on, and then we got, the lockdown was lifted last summer, so I got together with the band again, and that was nice, just for us all to play together.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then before we knew it, we'd finished sort of by October. So it came together sort of fairly quickly in some ways, you know.
So like, you've made a conscious decision to keep most of the songs very short. Like, they're all perfect pop songs when it comes to duration.
Yeah.
Why so?
That was, I just wanted to make it that way. I thought that was, I liked the title, I liked Fat Pop, and I didn't really know what it meant at the time. I'm still not too sure, but I liked the title. It kind of, it just intrigued me and I liked it. And so I just try to keep the songs that way, really, just very concise and structured. And you know, I suppose getting away from what we did on Sunset, which I loved, you know, but it was a bit more expansive on that
and lush.
It's a lot more improvised,
yeah,
lush and stuff. Yeah, exactly. So I just wanted to be a bit more structured, and also a lot more live as well. We pretty much did most of the tracks live at some point.
Brilliant. You say that Fat Pop, the title track, is your favourite song. Do I hear you laughing in that? Is there a laugh in it?
Well, it could be, yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of song you could do that in.
Yeah. I think there's a little sort of from Paul Weller in the middle of it.
Yeah,
there.
It could be.
Yeah. So you were having fun when you were recording it.
I did, yeah. I was loving it. I was under no pressure. And you know, thank God I had my studio to work in as well. I mean, that was, you know, made everything so much better. And so I was having fun. Yeah, I was just, yeah, there's no one else to please or times to finish by. I was just doing my thing and seeing where it led to.
Mm.
And that was, that was good fun.
How does it contrast, you know, from the very first Jam album to this, your 16th solo album? Because back then, the release of an album, vinyl, the whole thing was quite different, wasn't it?
It was entirely different, man. Yeah. We're talking about a totally different world. Where could I begin? I
mean, yes, we'll try.
Like 40 plus years of history has elapsed, and everything in that time has changed. You know, recording methods have changed. How people receive their music has changed. How artists get paid for their music has definitely changed.
Yeah. Can you remember the excitement of that first Jam album? Like, you were in your late teens, were you?
I was in my late teens. I was 18 or 18, 19 maybe. Well, it was really quick, you know. I mean, basically, we just played our live set, so we didn't deliberate on anything too much. We were green to all of it. But as in terms of what's changed, I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start because it's a different world, you know.
Yeah.
And when people, younger artists, have said to me, asked me for any sort of advice for people starting off, I'm just like, I don't know anymore. I honest to God don't know, apart from just, you know, keep at it and perseverance and don't sway from your initial vision.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But beyond that, I couldn't say, go and see this person at this company. Because it'd be a complete and utter waste of time for them, you know. So it's a very different world. I mean, I can remember, like, when we started off, before we got signed, I can remember me and my old man taking, like, demo tapes around. This was, like, 1974 or 5 or whatever. And we would just turn up at Decca Records or wherever it may be and ask to see an A&R person, you know. And most of the time we got in and saw them and played our little crappy tapes, and they told us, you know, thanks but no thanks. But you'd never do that now, obviously.
No. And your dad was your manager, John.
He was, yeah.
And he was a taxi driver and a builder, and your mum was a cleaner. So the world in which you were a child and the world in which your children are children, completely different. How I'm fascinated.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to know how you sort of bring your working class values with you and try and pass them on to your children, or do you?
With great difficulty, because they can't help but, you know, be products of what they've grown up in. You know, which is a privileged lifestyle. You know, can't really call it anything else than that. Really, we're lucky. We're good for money. We've got a nice house. I would say the dad, you know, their dad's got is employable, but it's hard to say at the moment. But so it's entirely, entirely, entirely different world, Joe. And when I try to explain to them the sort of house I used to live in and was brought up in, and they have no concept of it. It's hard for them to see that, you know. But the only thing, probably the only thing from my background that I try to instill in all of them, whether it gets through, I don't know, but it's just the whole work ethic thing, really, that you only get what you put in, you know, and nothing comes for free, you know. Because I think it's easy, if you're growing up in privilege, that you that things appear to be easy, and life is easy, you know, and it ain't, as we all know, or a lot of us know, anyway. So, just to, you know, to always work and don't be lazy, man.
Yeah. Your daughter helped you out on the album, on Shades of Blue.
She did, yeah.
Your daughter, Leah.
Yeah.
So what was that like, working with your daughter?
Oh, it's great, man. It's pretty good fun and nice and easy. And, yeah, we had fun doing it, really. We just sat around a piano in a kitchen in a cottage near the studio. And we just had a family sing-along, really. And then she, I had the song anyway, I had the verses, but I couldn't find my way into the chorus. And so she came up with the chorus and just helped shape it, really. And it was great, yeah. And then we cut the vocals the next day, and there it was, you know.
One of your twins has he's only 9, but he's very sort of informed when it comes to art. What did he say?
Well, I was talking to him about my songs. I said, okay, you know, make sure you try and look after my catalogue when I'm gone, like Monday when I'm gone, make sure you look after it. And he said to me, yeah, he said, but I think great art belongs to everyone.
Age nine,
yeah. I don't know what film he got it from or whatever, man.
Well, he didn't lick it off a stone, yeah. Listen, your name has come up an awful lot recently on the show because of your work with Declan O'Rourke.
So we
got his version of events. So what's your version of the story? How did you come to work with each other?
Well, Deck just called me and he asked me if I'm going to be up producing these records. And the first thing I said to him is, you don't need a producer. You know, he's so good and he's so talented. I don't know what a producer would do for him. But he was very insistent. So I said, well, send me the songs. You know, we'll send you some demos or whatever you've got and see if I can... if I feel I can do anything with it, you know, or I could even help or whatever, have some input, you know. But Declan was very insistent that I do it. So I tried it and I think it was successful, really, you know, I would say. And I mean, I love his work anyway. From the first time I heard his first album, we were both on the same label at that time, at V2. And Galileo is just like, well, probably one of the all-time favourite songs, man. I just think it's, well, just classic anyway.
Have you ever sang it?
Yeah, I did. We did it in Dublin, right, at the, what's it called, the gig there, man? Oh.
The Three Arena, the Olympia.
The Olympia, yeah, of course. We did it at the Olympia a few years ago, and me and Dex sang it anyway. And he came on with us and we sang it with the band.
Yeah.
How good it was, I don't know, man. That fella's on a different level, man. He's on another level, I think, musically. His guitar playing alone is just...
Oh, yeah, the opening of The Harbour. You were there when that was recorded, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's something very special about that, isn't
like,
there?
Yeah. Incredible, man. And it's just like, could be like two or three guitar players and it's just him.
Do you find you're more mellow now, Paul Weller? Does that happen with age?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely, yeah. Thank God, yeah. Because I wouldn't want to be as uptight or angry as I was when I was a kid, you know. It'd be exhausting. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think I've definitely mellowed. And I'm sure that some of that's to do with, a lot of that's to do with age. And some of it's also just to become comfortable with myself as well, you know, and know myself better and be a bit more forgiving on myself if things I don't live up to. And, you know, lots of things, man. It's deep. But yeah, I most definitely become more mellow, yeah.
Because people listening would look at you, Paul Weller, and they'd see this dapper, hugely talented man who's been making brilliant music for nearly 50 years. And they'd say, how could you doubt yourself? How could you, Paul Weller, doubt yourself ever?
Well, if I didn't doubt myself, I probably wouldn't be sitting here now with you having this conversation, so, let alone be on to my 16th solo album. Because within that doubt, even though it's, you know, sometimes it's difficult with it, but within that doubt, I think you it keeps you on track. I think it keeps you on edge and not get lazy and don't get complacent and not just think it's all easy and it all just sort of falls into place, you know, because I think there's a lot of work required in doing it all, you know, and consistent thing, you know, and just, you know, keep your tools sharpened, as the old saying goes, because you never know when you're going to need them.
Are your tools sharper? I know you're sober 11 years now. We've spoken to a number of people who have found lockdown particularly difficult. People who, you know, are recovering alcoholics. Was it difficult for you, or did you just immerse yourself in music?
Hopefully, I'm beyond that point now.
Oh, yeah.
Where I wouldn't drink. You know, funny. There's been a few times last year, maybe once. I got really tempted. I didn't get really tempted. I thought about drinking anyway. And that was the first time in a long, long time anyway, which I didn't do. But I think I'm past that point because I think of the other sort of downside of drinking, you know, and that kind of wins over every time, really. And I'm much happier with my life, you know, being sober and seeing things differently and being more present and try and live in the moment more. So why would I go back? You know, do you know what I mean? Those things would keep me away from all of that.
Why would you? I was reading somewhere there that did you? And this is going right back to Band-Aid time. Sorry about this, but did you mime Bono's words on Top of the Pops?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, did you? Right.
I did. Yeah. How I come to fucking do that? I don't know, mate. But anyway, I think Sir Bob. Asked me if I would do it.
Right.
I think.
So that's there's loads of Irish connections. You've worked with Conor O'Brien from Villagers as well, and one of the lads from the Stripes as well. So you keep an eye on what's happening over here. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got so much talent there, man. As you obviously, I'm not saying anything about it, but there's so much talent in Ireland, and well, there's just so much music that's come from your island.
Did I hear a jazz flute on one of the songs? Testify. Is there jazz?
but is it a jazz flute? It is definitely a flute.
Yeah.
I would call it more of a sort of funky jazz flute.
Funky jazz flute, yeah. It's brilliant. It suits it. It's great. I was so loving the album because there's so much going on there. Like, and even within a 3-minute song, there's so much going on. You're a real craftsman, a real craftsman.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah, and this is the other thing. I've been a huge fan forever, but I've never immersed myself in, you know, the little minutiae of your life. I was a bit shocked to find out that Status Quo were the sort of the catalyst for you becoming who you are.
It fucking moves to me, man.
There you go. But there you go. Clarify that before we go, Paul. Were you ever at a Status Quo? Were you ever at a Status Quo gig?
Yeah. But anyway, listen. The catalyst for me is the Beatles,
right?
No doubt, hands down, right?
Yeah.
And everything else I heard after them was just a bonus,
right?
We liked them around that time. When I say me and the band at the time, like, we went to see them in 1972 at the Guildford Civic, right?
Yeah.
But I liked all the albums like Mark Kelly's Greasy Spoon and Dog of Two Heads. yeah, maybe up to pole driver, I liked anyway. But they were good, man. And that was the first live band I'd ever seen, apart from like seeing people in a little workingman's club or a pub or something, but a proper sort of concert hall. And I'd never heard music that loud before. And I just thought that was the most fantastic thing ever.
Yeah.
To be totally blasted by sound, you know.
Yeah. Listen, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us. Fat Pop, Volume 1 is out next Friday, and we're already looking forward to Volume 2. Paul Weller, thank you.
Yeah, bless you. Thanks for your time, mate.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, nice man is Paul Weller. Now, since Sarah Bulger starred in the movie In America in 2003, she's been in loads of stuff, as they'd say in Kildare. Stormbreaker, The Spiderwick Chronicles, Once Upon a Time. And since 2018, she's been starring in Mayans MC, the spin-off series to the multi-award winning Sons of Anarchy. You'll be able to see her as in from Monday the 10th in End of Sentence, which is available to download. It's a sort of a road trip across Ireland with a father and son, and Jewel, this mysterious stranger, played by Sarah Bulger. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good. Good to talk to you.
I don't know. Just talk to you. How's things?
Yeah, great. I'm just doing the maths here. So 18, 19 years. You've been acting for more than half your life.
I have been acting for like 25 years to age myself.
Wow.
And actually, this is going to sound really funny, but, and I was only talking this to my mum and my sister a minute ago, you were the first person, you, Ray Darcy, the first person to ever put me on TV at the age of one.
Right.
in Smile of the Week on the day.
All right.
Please do not try to find it. I do not want to see the photo ever again, but it did happen.
So you were destined to be on the screen then, Sarah. You were destined.
Something like that. I don't know.
So I'm, if you're only one, obviously it was something to do with your loving parents who wanted their child
on
the
telly. I did not.
Yeah. So you obviously got a feel for it then. And did you go to one of the acting schools when you were younger?
I did. Yeah. No, I went to Anne Kavanagh's drama school when I was very young.
Yeah.
And of course, she was an immense help in like the kickoff and of the career and all that.
Yeah.
But I mean, very young age. It's mad that it's, and I'm so fortunate and lucky that it's continued. It wasn't just a childhood thing.
I know, but you're talented, obviously. That's why it's continued, you know.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So I watched End of Sentence. I really enjoyed it. And
thank you.
And your part is, it's, you know, there's loads going on there, isn't there? With you.
So much, yeah. She's a little bit of an enigma. Like the character I play, unlike so many of the characters that I've actually played in the past, like, there is something kind of disingenuous maybe to her. You're always questioning. The audience should always question the things that are coming out of her mouth, what her motives are, what her goals are.
Yeah.
But I think the truth is, like, Jewel's come from a really hard background in her life, and she's a bit of a, you know, she's a bit of a mystery woman. But at the end of the day, I do think she does fall for the dynamic of Frank and Sean, played by Logan Lerman and John Hawkes, and their dynamic of father-son and that paternal love they have. Is something that I think really affects her, but you know she's so stoic that you sort of, it's hard to catch glimpses of. It's just a fun character to play.
Yeah,
with.
Yeah, yeah, and you can sing, Sarah.
I kind of.
Do you know what I loved about? Do you know one of the that I love that scene in the movie where you're in the pub and you get to sing "Dirty Old Town" with the resident, the band, yeah, because you see loads of. Sort of contrivances of an Irish pub in movies,
right.
And they rarely get it right, but that felt it felt right and it looked natural, and there was even that man who passed you at one stage coming back from the loo. You see, it's the detail that's important. So you've been hiding your voice then, have you? Or
I mean I sang in America, oddly enough.
Yes.
sang the Eagle song Desperado, and I sing to much annoying my poor parents, because I have a guitar that I only know like seven chords to, and I sing with that. There will not be an album released. Please rest assured. Right. No one's got an album, but it is something I do in my spare time.
What's that girl's name? Driver's License. Isn't she an actor as well? Is she an actress, come singer? You know, the,
who's this driver's license?
Yeah,
know.
The big hit. There's the big hit of... Where were you last year? The big hit of last year.
Honestly, I was stuck in Los Angeles.
I think it was both sides of the Atlantic. Anyway.
Oh, I'm terrible. I think I'm terrible. Unless it's on the Hamilton soundtrack.
I don't know it.
There's nothing else I listen to.
So you're back home in Dublin, back from LA.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just got back because I've been away now a year and a bit.
Right.
Since... I missed Christmas and everything because of, you know.
Something's been going on in the world. Yes, we've noticed.
The little thing.
Yeah. Was that tough for you?
Oh, my God. I was on FaceTime every second of every day. In fact, I was very, I wanted my family to keep an iPad on just 24/7 just so I could sort of be in every room with them. I drove them nuts. I was so lonely. I was fortunate that in September, Mayans MC, the TV show that I'm doing, we actually were one of the first productions in Los Angeles to kick back up after COVID started. Yeah. So I actually did end up working, quite early-ish into the pandemic. But at the same time, it was so restrictive, your movements, your fears. So there is a lot of just sitting in, the little space I have in Los Angeles.
Yeah. And missing your family.
Of course, my dad lost without them.
Was it very emotional then, the reunion?
I don't know. I know the dogs are really happy to see me.
The dogs, just the dogs, right?
Just the dogs. No, it was so lovely to be home because at the end of the day, it's just, mum, dad, sister and uncle. Like, such a small little family and it's just so lovely to be able to see everyone and I missed Christmas, so they gave me a birthday / Christmas party
that was very lovely.
I actually would do that again just because it's just a fun celebration day.
So End of Sentence is available to download as in from next Monday with Sarah, and you're continuing to work on Mayans MC, which has been commissioned for a fourth season, I believe.
Yeah. I just woke up Monday morning to hear the news. We get a fourth season, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Isn't there such huge opportunities now for actors?
Oh my God, it's amazing. Yeah. And do you know what? I'm so happy to learn about how many productions are filming in Ireland.
Yeah.
Our crews are some of the best crews, I think, in the world. It's just so fantastic. All these stages are popping up and spaces are being adapted into sound stages for films.
Your man's in town. What's his name? Patrick Dempsey. And because we watched that when Kate was younger. Enchanted. Who's the female star in that?
Oh, yes, they're doing Enchanted too.
Yeah. Who's the female star in that?
Is it Amy Adams?
Yes. Is it? I'm not too sure.
She was the lead in the first one, well, I would imagine.
Yeah. So I think they're up in Enniskerry there in Wicklow, and they're shooting up there. Yeah. There's loads of new studios been built around the place as well. So
I know.
Yeah, there
might
come.
It's the best place. I sing its praises from every corner.
Right. Okay.
I just want things to. And actually, End of Sentence brought me back to Ireland to film, and not only that. It brought me around the country, countryside that I hadn't even been to.
Yes, you should be embarrassed, Sarah Bulger, that you don't know your own country.
Oh, it's a gosh. But I got to see so much of it, and it was lovely, actually. It made me fall back in love with Ireland.
I won't give too much away, but there's a beautiful shot at the end. Now, you're not in it, unfortunately, but there's a beautiful shot at the end of the movie. By a lake somewhere. I think it's in Cavan or someplace like that. And it is beautiful. It is beautiful. So, Sarah, listen, when all this is over, you might come in and chat to us. Good luck with Mayans MC, End of Sentence. And don't be a stranger. So it's, we won't say your age, but it's a long time since I saw you when you were one on the den. Right. Okay, see you, Sarah. Mind yourself.
I would love to see you in person. Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
See you, Sarah. Bye, bye. That's Sarah Bulger there. And End of Sentence is the movie. Available to download as in from Monday. Anish Dosha now in the Free Skelton and Oakta, Kieran O'Faharta. Grandmaga, Kieran, thank you very much. On Padraig and his camper van, Kilkee and Loophead, also great places on the west coast of County Clare. And then Val says, I'm on cloud nine because I got my second jab today, says Val in Athlone. Me being 56, I registered today. It was very easy, very straightforward. So I await now the response from the HSE to get an appointment. Highway to Hell, says somebody. Highway to Hell is great for the old road trip. I don't know if we have it there, have we? Somebody else says, Don't Stop Believing.
Don't stop believing. Come on, streetlights, people.
Yeah, that's a good one. It was overplayed at the time, that's the only thing. But it, yeah, I can see it. I can see how it would work. And the good heart these days is hard to find. A good heart. Love, the lasting kind. A good heart these days is hard. Fergal Sharkey, good heart. Martin has suggested that. Please be gentle with this heart of mine. And this one. Love that canned heat. I'm going to some place where I've never been before. Go on. Yeah, that's great. And who suggested this? I think it was Pat. Talking Heads, and This Must Be the Place. I might do that over the weekend. A road trip playlist. On Spotify, yeah, I might get around to that. Meanwhile, it's time for our quiz of today. And the prize, thanks to the people at the Doyle Hotel Collection for all the prizes this week. Today, a two-night stay in the River Lee, which is a Doyle Hotel, or a Doyle Collection hotel. With the two-night stay, you get breakfast each morning in the beautiful Mirror Room, with dinner on one evening in the River Club, with a gorgeous riverside terrace. It's nice down there. DoyleCollection.com for more details. Hello, Gabby.
How are you, Ray?
Gabby Harding.
Yes, indeed.
Short for?
Gabriel.
And why not Gay?
Well, my dad was known as Gay actually years and years ago, but it's not really one that's used now, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was a great Gay Bourne, I suppose. Then there's then there's Gabriel Bourne. He didn't shorten his name. Gabby. Is that common? Would a lot of Gabriels go to Gabby?
Gabby or Gabe. One of our sons is called, we call him Gabe.
Oh, so
his name is Gabriel as well.
There's a Gabe and a Gabby in your house.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're up in Enniskerry. Is there loads of excitement up there?
The place is bedlam.
Is it? Yeah. What do you know about what's going on, Gabby?
Well, they're building the palace at the moment, right in the middle of the village.
Are they?
And it's looking well. The scaffolding and all is up, and the hoarding is up on the front of that, and they're going to starting to plaster it now as well. And they're doing a few of the other shops also. And they're going to paint kind of all the streets cobble lock.
Right.
And they're going to paint it all purple as well, I think.
So it's a complete transformation of Enniskerry.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're going to do the village into the Disenchanted
2
movie set.
Yeah. That's so exciting.
It's really busy, and it's fantastic for the village, because to be fair, with lockdown, everything was closed and no one could travel.
Yeah.
So no one, you know, the village relies on people coming in from outside, having a look and going to Paris Court and doing the usual.
But of course, like, think about in years to come, you know, the village Disenchanted 2.
It'll be fantastic. Like, people will go, oh yeah. So I don't know how long they're going to leave the whole set up.
Yeah.
After they've finished, but
I remember when they built. Do you remember the out in Gormanstown? I think they built the GPO for Michael Collins. And it was open to the public there for a while after as a sort of a tourist attraction.
So that's might. Fantastic.
And everybody in the area will benefit, Gabby, I'd imagine.
Yes, no, without a doubt, yeah. Yeah, it's given the whole place a lift, to be fair. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It really is.
So you'll be I'm looking at your age here. You can register from Monday.
I actually registered early.
Yeah, what?
I did it the other night. I just went to Detroit and it accepted it.
It accepted it, all right, okay. I don't think it matters. It doesn't mean you skip the queue, Gabby.
No. I just said I'd try it, and it was very easy, and I did it for myself and my wife. So.
Yeah, and you're still playing football?
I am.
Gaelic football, yeah.
Yeah, now I'm a goalkeeper, so a lot of people say I usually just stand there.
Look at Cluxton. Where would Dublin be without him?
My club is actually in Rafarnham.
Right.
I'm originally from Rafarnham, so it's Ballyboden Wanderers Football Club.
And actually, Sarah, coincidentally, is originally from Rathfarnham as well. Sarah, who we were talking to before.
There you go. Yeah.
So she's back home in Rathfarnham. So now you're up against Breed Hopkins, who's in, Kinamara. She's in Kinvara in Connemara. How are you doing, Breed?
Hello, how are you?
Good.
How are you, Breed?
How are you, Gabby? Good luck to you and best of luck to me.
Best of luck to you as well.
I love you already, Breed. Kinvara is a beautiful place.
It's not. See, I'm Kinvara Connemara because oftentimes people mix it up with Kinvara in East Galway.
Oh, right.
So we have, our place is much quieter but no less beautiful than the other Kinvara. I love them both.
Well said, well said. What have you done already today now, Breed?
To tell you the truth, I haven't done a lot today. It's kind of a quiet day today because I'm home alone.
Right.
But I, the most I've done is a bit of ironing here, ironing a few shirts and a few, you know, bit of clothes.
Yeah.
And I got my walk in. I usually take a 10K walk every day, which takes me a while, but we've lovely long boreens out here, so it's easy to get a good walk in.
Well, a 10K walk is something to brag about, in fairness,
Breed. It is, around the 6 miles. Yes, pretty decent. Yeah,
yeah,
I love
pretty
it,
decent,
I have to say. It's
and who
my main hobby.
Who else is in the house normally?
Normally it would be my husband, Pather, but he's out building stone walls there today now, so he's well away from the house.
What does he do? Is he a stonemason?
No, he's a small holding, a farmer.
Okay.
So we have sheep and donkey and cattle and a pony and a foal.
Great. And two grandchildren.
And two grandchildren, yeah, 5-year-old and 2-year-old.
And have you been vaccinated?
Oh, yes, yeah, oh, the excitement of getting called. And I got AstraZeneca there in April. And
did you?
So I'll be due my second one there at the end of July.
Great.
So by mid-August, I'll be able to travel to Dublin.
Brilliant. That's all ahead of us, Gabby. Me and you.
Yeah,
yeah, it's all ahead of
us. Can't wait for it.
Yeah, there's hope in the air. Right, okay, yeah. So 5 questions each. Gabby and Breed, whoever answers most correct gets the prize. If it's a draw, we go to a tie-break situation. Good luck. Here we go.
Thank you.
Right, Gabby, first question for you. On this day in 2019, Venezuela's Congress accused opposition lawmakers of treason in the country's parliament. On what continent would you find Venezuela?
South America.
That's the correct answer. Breed, on this day in 1943, during the Second World War, the US 1st Armored Division landed in Tunisia. On what continent would you find Tunisia?
Africa.
Yeah, North Africa. That's correct. Gabby, second question is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
Shirley, dear old Shirley. Shirley, Shirley, Shirley. To be honest, love, as I remember, I don't think our paths ever crossed. I did meet Des O'Connor, though.
On this day in 2006, at the 52nd BAFTAs, that actor you heard was nominated for a Best Actor Award for his role as Ray Say in Little Voice. Can you name him?
Michael Caine.
Yeah, that's it. And for you, Breed, have a listen to this.
I confess. It is my intention to commandeer one of these ships, pick up a crew in Tortuga, raid, pillage, plunder, and otherwise pilfer my Weasley Black Cartel. Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if you told it to you.
On this day in 2011, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides premiered in Los Angeles. Can you name the actor you heard there who played the part of Jack Sparrow in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies?
Would it be Johnny Depp?
It would be Johnny Depp, yes. Well done, Breed. Question number 3 for you, Gabby. On this day in 1775, the state of Bukovina, ceded to Austria. Which of these countries does Austria share a border with? That's the question. Which of these countries does Austria share a border with? Italy or Poland?
Italy.
Correct answer. And for you, Breed, on this day in 1832, Greece became independent. Which of these countries does Greece share a border with? Bulgaria or Romania?
Bulgaria.
It's the correct answer. You're flying it. Music question for you, Gabby. Here it is. On this day in 2014, Kelly Rowland, singer with that group, married Tim Witherspoon in Costa Rica. Can you name the group?
Destiny's Child.
Correct answer. And for you, Breed, have a listen to this. I'm never gonna treat you bad, 'cause I never wanna see you sad. I swore to share your joy and your pain, and we'll swear it all over again. And this day in 1999, that song, Swear It Again, was at number one. Can you name the group?
Boyzone?
Oh, so close. So close. It was the other one.
Must be Westlife.
Yeah. Sorry about
that's
that.
That's one. It's Friday.
No, I can't. Are you joking me? I can't. No, it was there. It was one or the other, wasn't it, Breed? And you went for the went for the wrong one. Anyway, it's not over for you yet, Breed. If Gabby answers this one incorrectly and you get your final question correct, then we're in a tiebreak situation. So hold on there. Right, Gabby, good luck with this. It could win it for you. On this day in 1987, Tom Cruise married actress Mimi Rogers. In what year was Tom Cruise born? 1962, 1965, or 1968?
65.
No, it was 1962.
What was that for?
He looks good in it, doesn't he?
He does, to be fair.
Yeah, 1962.
I look as good though.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, well, because you're still playing GAA, aren't you? Okay, so now Breed. See what's happened there. He got it wrong. You have one question. If you get it right, we're into a tiebreak situation. Good luck. On this day in 1919, Eva Perón, Argentine First Lady, was born in Las Toldas in Argentina. She was played in the film Evita by Madonna. What we want to know is, in what year was Madonna born? 1955, 1958, or 1961?
58.
Said with confidence. And you're correct.
Same age as myself.
Oh, there you go.
Well done.
That's the way they fall, isn't it? That's the way they fall. Now, so that's great. I love that. So for all, which brings us to a tiebreak situation. You were asked the question before you went on air, and it's closest to the correct answer that wins the prize. So good luck to Gabby in Enniskerry, and good luck to Breed in Kinvara in Connemara. So the question, on this day in 1938, Johnny Caldwell, flightweight boxer and winner of a bronze medal in the 1956 Olympics, was born in Belfast. According to the AA route planner, how long would it take you to drive from Belfast to Tralee? So Belfast to Tralee, driving. Answers in hours and minutes. Gabby, can you remember your guess?
4 hours 40, I think I said.
4 hours 40. It's 461 kilometres. And can you remember your guess, Breed?
6 hours 30 minutes.
Right. The correct answer is 4 hours and 51 minutes, which means Gabby is the closest, which means here's our winner today. Sorry about that, Breed.
Gabby gets to Cork and I get to stay in Kinvara. But you know what, it's Fred.
No, but you get a Ray Darcy Show mug, Breed.
Oh, fantastic.
Unlucky, Breed, unlucky.
Unlucky, very unlucky. Breed, listen, mind yourself. Keep walking.
Okay, thank
keep
you
walking.
Very much.
Yeah, lovely to talk to you. See you now. Have a great weekend. Stay
bye,
safe.
Bye-bye.
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 Gabby, well done.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
Yeah, and as Breed says, you're on your way to Cork, to
yes,
the River
indeed.
Lee, and you can find out more about it, doylecollection.com. Doylecollection.com.
Excellent stuff. That's
Mind
fantastic.
Yourself, Gabby. Enjoy the...
Enjoy the show. Well done, Greg. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What I was going to say to you was, enjoy the goings-on up in Enniskerry for Disenchanted or Enchanted 2. Now, Brian Kennedy is waiting for us in his kitchen. We're going to talk to him, and he might sing for us after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we're having problems getting to Brian Kennedy's kitchen. So we'll keep trying to do that and making connections with the telecommunications and all that. But meanwhile, we'll play a song from Brian Kennedy. It doubles up as a song from him, and also a song that you might play if you go on a road trip. Life.
Will you walk with me?
Love and happiness.
Through this world.
Hello, Brian Kennedy.
Hello, Ray Darcy.
How are you? So you won't be singing from your kitchen today, then.
Oh, God damn it. It's driving me mad. Yes, damn that old COVID bug. I mean, I'm sitting here raring to go, guitar in hand, hair up in a bun, ready to go. Yeah, it seems the gremlins are on hand today. But hey, you played Life, Love and Happiness.
Yeah. And that's lovely. What I love about that song is it builds and builds and builds, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yeah. And that's what was great about it live, especially when we had the whole live band and everything. We used to always kind of encore with that. And yeah, I just used to love that part of the show, absolutely. We need positivity, Ray.
Yes. And how do you draw on that sort of, you know, those memories now?
I do. I definitely do. Because especially around that time, this was kind of written around the peace process there in the 90s, just before I finished A Better Man, that record. That was one of the last songs to be written. And so I do, I remember those times, and especially when I'm doing my Facebook Live shows with, you know, Richard and Lar.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm in Wembley Arena, with, you know, of course I am, because I actually was there with Tina Turner,
yes,
you know, all those years ago. So my memory, thank goodness, is completely intact.
I saw, I don't know if you watched it yet, but the Tina Turner documentary.
Yeah, I did.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Oh, she's I mean, she is the epitome of survival, that woman.
Yes.
Absolutely extraordinary. And I got to watch her up close every single night on that UK tour, you know, and then we played here in Ireland and then Scotland and around the rest of the UK there. And I mean, she was phenomenal every single night. You know, she was maybe probably the oldest person on the stage by a mile. And I would think one of the fittest, one of the best singers. One of them. I mean, I couldn't take my eyes off her every single night.
I didn't realize how formidable she was.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's, you know, God love her. You know, she's had such a, you know, there's a trawler full of past and abuse and all kinds of things that we associate her with. But as you say, just give the woman a microphone.
Amazing.
And let her sing, you know.
Yeah,
and my goodness me, that's why she's still around now.
How are you?
I'm very well. I had my first vaccine the other day on the 28th of April. So felt a bit weird and spaced out that night and very tired the next day. But no sore arm, nothing. And again, Ray, I think it's just a major step forward in getting past this pandemic to get the vaccine. I get my final one. It's a Pfizer vaccine I'm getting. Don't you love how people are going, hey, which one did you get? Which one are you getting? Like, just give it to me. You know, so the 26th of May is my final vaccine, and then I'm rare to go.
And I suppose for somebody like you, because you're vulnerable, you know, did it mean an awful lot to you? Because I would imagine you were scared to go out. Or maybe,
I was. I actually was. And, you know, for goodness sake, I grew up on the Falls Road. If anyone's going to make it to be scared to go out, it would have been those days. But certainly, I just was extremely wary of not putting myself. I was really listening to, you know, Dr. Holohan. I was trying to take it all on board. I would go for my little walks. But, yeah, I always wore the mask outside, things like that. And you just don't know. What I didn't want to do was put my immune system through that to see how it would cope. I didn't ever want to be in that situation.
Yeah.
And so even going across to St. James's Hospital, where I was getting, you know, a scan and results and everything, of course it plays on your mind because that's where all the COVID was and all that. But of course, as usual, St. James's were incredible. They have it so organized. I was over again there recently. They're just incredible people, you know.
Yeah. And does Monday have any significance for you? Will you be going anywhere or...?
This Monday, I'm very tempted to get in the car. I've got great friends in Galway. I mean, how far can we go, Ray?
Oh, no, you can go anywhere.
Oh, anywhere, okay.
Yes, yeah.
So I might go to Galway, I might go to Donegal, I'm not sure. I'll kind of just see what the story is on Monday, what's in the news on Monday,
and then
I'll make a decision. But yes, I'm mad for a road trip. That's the great thing about being on tour. I really love driving and I love, you know, the length and breadth of our gorgeous country. And hopefully the weather will be nice too.
And do you play your own music when you're driving?
Can you imagine, right, in the front of the car singing along to can you believe it? Yeah, Recovery, the song I'll be singing will be Recovery, definitely.
Well, we have a bit of it there. We play it for people.
Oh, fantastic.
I opened my heart carefully, then closed my eyes so I could say truth, justice and love, recovering truth, justice and love. Repeat these words through and through. Truth, justice and love, recovering, recovering, recovering.
Just can't keep. I suppose we're all on a road to recovery now, aren't we?
I think it's so funny how that song is, the lyric has taken on a completely new meaning, and it is exactly that, recovery from this bizarre. I mean, Ray, I haven't done a proper gig for well over a year.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? It's just extraordinary.
And how, I know this is a very personal question, but how are you for money, Brian?
Well, I mean, I'm okay. Let's just say that because I, as you say, I haven't done a paying gig for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
You know, and thank goodness I don't have a squad of kids and all of that kind of thing. So I live somewhere. I live comfortably. I live sensibly. I'm solvent-ish, you know, so I'm okay. But certainly I could do with a few more gigs this year, thank goodness. And even from a mental point of view, it's important to go to work. I mean, at least you guys, you get up and you go into the studio and do all of that. I need to do what I do. You know, my singing, my music, it's not a hobby. It's a vocation. You know, it's what I'm built to do. So, yeah, I'm doing okay, but it would be nice to get paid back.
That's interesting. So it defines Brian Kennedy, and without
entirely.
It, yeah, yeah.
Entirely. Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this for my entire adult life. I've been singing since I was a little kid. I've been a professional musician since my late teens, early 20s. The first album was 1990. That's 31 years ago.
Wow.
But I've been clocking in as a singer and musician. I mean, this is my vocation. I'm not doing this for anything other than that. Yeah. I don't know. Here's how you can tell, Ray, that I'm definitely into it. Because I've been doing it for the last year. I'm not being paid. I still want to sing.
Well, listen, we can't wait. Sorry that the whole kitchen session didn't work out. But we can't wait till you get, you know, we can all come back into studio and you can sing us a song.
I can't wait to come in and sing for you. Okay. Before you let me, can I say a big shout out to Catherine Lynch's mother and her best friend, Dolly, who were listening in Mohill. I'd be killed if I don't tell
her. Yeah. And does Catherine Lynch's mother have a name apart from Catherine?
She does. I think you should get her to ring in. But here's the thing. Catherine and I have been doing these characters. I'm Concepta from the pharmacy.
Right.
And I ring up. I pretend to be Concepta from the pharmacy. And I'm ringing her up about her prescriptions, you know, for all kinds of rudeness. Yeah. And then she pretends to be Sister Ejaculata from up there.
We have to go. See you, Brian Kennedy. Stay safe. Mind yourself. Bye, bye. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back on Monday at 3 o'clock. Enjoy your weekend. Whatever you're doing, do it safely.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.